Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
So let me ask you this. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Or maybe who are you waiting for? Let's play with that a little bit. Imagine you find a door in your house somewhere, and in praying we hit it with the wand, and now it's a magic door. It's a magic door, and you stand there, and you can open and close the door, and once you praying it, it can transport whoever in the history of history, whoever can be the most powerful ally for you. Is it your savior? Is it the big guy? The big girl? Who are you hanging your hat on as far as perhaps your religion, or perhaps your salvation, or perhaps who you hold as a model or an example of what the divine idea of a persona could be? Our history has many examples of, quote, miracles, unquote. And does your persona, does your savior, I mean, let's play with that door. So close the door, metaphorically, and poof, whoever your savior is, whoever the most beneficial persona in the all that is, appears behind the door, and now open the door. And there's your savior, and there's the big cheese, and there's the one that knows. What the hell are they going to do to transmute your life? I'm not discounting blessings. I'm not discounting miracles. I'm getting in your head about what you think your Savior is going to do for you to save you or to empower you or to enlighten you or to whatever. Sometimes we pick up a Savior from our family of origin and we never let go of that, and there's no right or wrong here. There's zero right or wrong. But we click a few decades into it, and now we think, well, you know, the Savior's going to come save our asses. The Savior's got everything under control. God with the big G's running the show, so I don't have to do diddly. Think whatever you want. Think whatever you want forever. You don't have sovereignty if you can't at least do that. But poof, you open the door and there they are, right there. Imagine you looking in their eyes. The day has come. Here you are. So what happens next? What are you waiting for to happen? Maybe what needs to happen is inside of you, perhaps. We're going to take a look at working on the inside of you tonight, on the show tonight. Is your Savior going to save you and you can just stand down and it's all being handled? You have people in high places, right? Or do you have some skin in the game? Are you taking a personal responsibility for the evolution of your consciousness, the evolvement of your spirituality? Are you clear about that? I think we're going to have a delightful show tonight. I want to give a shout out to Norway and Sweden and Portugal and Spain and Brazil. We've got new listeners all over the world. Always a pleasure to have new listeners. Things are a little different here. I'm not afraid to hold your feet to the fire. So I think we should get to it. We're going to have a delightful show tonight. The topic tonight, Everyday Reiki, a self-healing routine for mastering the teachings and practice of Reiki. And our guest tonight is Dawn McLaughlin. We're going to bring her on in just a minute. Connect to universal healing energy on a personal level with this immersive guide to the teachings and practice of Reiki. Whether you're a student or a seasoned healer, our guest tonight, Dawn McLaughlin, offers activities that help you strengthen your connection to Reiki energy. Develop greater self-awareness, cultivate intuition, improve inner harmony, and more. We'll also talk about learning about self-healing, healing others, psychic senses, spirit guides, chakras, and more. I think we should get to it because time's going to slip by pretty fast. Join me in welcoming Dawn to the show. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be here, Les.
Everyday Reiki, the name of your latest book. I always like to make sure the audience knows what you think about the term you use, Reiki. What does Reiki mean to you?
Well, Reiki is both an energy healing modality as well as the energy healing that's being channeled itself, the universal life force energy. So for me, Reiki is both.
So it's the universal life force energy, and what else did you say?
It's the energy healing modality itself is called Reiki.
Okay.
So when you're saying the word Reiki, it's the energy healing modality that helps provide physical, emotional, mental, energetic, and spiritual healing.
Right.
By connecting with the universal life force energy, that is also called Reiki.
Right. Oh, okay. Got it. I want to understand because if we're going to use these terms, I need to know how you use the term. So the subtitle of your book, A Self-Healing Routine for Mastering the Teachings and Practice of Reiki. So self-healing, let's kind of drill down into that idea a little bit. So if I'm like a war vet and I go to war and I've been through absolute horror and hell and I come back and I'm jacked up six ways to Sunday, I'm really messed up, I might have PTSD, I might have nightmares. As a person, I might only want to get back to normal. What, quote, normal was.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the idea that normal is where I've been my whole flipping life, and I want to break out of my normal, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we talk about self-healing, what's a good measuring stick? I mean, how can we tell if we're, like with those examples, How can we tell where we are? What's a barometer we can use to see if we're truly in our game or we think we are and we're really kind of dreaming a little bit? You know what I mean?
Right. So I love your example with the veteran because I do see veterans in my practice. And you're 100% correct. You might be coming in for stress relief. You might be coming in for PTSD. And that might be what gets you in the door, right, is those immediate needs. Or perhaps it's more physical. For me, I found Reiki because of issues I was having with my digestion. I had undiagnosed celiac disease. So for my personal experience, it was to get relief from the pain I was in, the physical pain. But it could also be mental or emotional pain. That's what make you prompt you to see somebody for Reiki healing. But the benefits go so far beyond whatever your immediate symptoms are to really help you heal on all different levels. Levels when I started, I didn't even know existed.
Right.
So it can really help you open up to a journey to what healing means to you as an individual. Whether that's healing from childhood issues that you've buried or healing, and it leads you to a completely different career path because that career was unhealthy for you.
Right.
Basically, you're only limited by your own imagination, how this kind of healing can work.
Yeah, but if our imagination sucks, then we don't have a measuring stick. I mean, I like what you said about symptoms or conditions that I wasn't even aware of myself. And I say that because I can totally relate to it. I was like 35, and the day before I got cracked open, the cosmic 2x4, I had no clue. I had an immense amount of anger in my psyche. I had no flipping clue, zero. And that's what I'm trying to get at, this metric of how do we know we're out of the woods metaphorically? How do we know we're in the realm of living our potential?
That's a great question. So when I think about things like this, I think of it almost as an onion with layers. So you have the physical self, and that might be where you spend most of your time, right, in this physical body. But there's our emotional body, too, healing there, healing our mental body. I think that when you become in a more peaceful state, whatever that is for you, that's a good barometer, is how you're feeling. Are you able to access happiness? Are you able to access a full range of emotions? For me, accessing anger was always very difficult. So for me, when I can access that anger and honor it, I know I've made progress. It's such an individual, healing is such an individual path. It's an individual journey.
And I like what you said about layers of an onion, because I'm no sproctologist, but the more I stare at history, I don't see any accounts, zero accounts of some deity or some orb that prangs the wand on the head of some human and poof, that human is a celestial being and no longer has karma, no longer has issues. What I'm getting at is, I've been scrubbing on my psyche 25 years and it amazes me how much junk I have in my trunk.
So we all, though. And I think the more that we spend time exploring those places within, the more we get out of it.
Right.
The more we uncover about ourselves.
Right.
The more we know ourselves. And I think that's one of the keys that Reiki can help unlock, is an opportunity to know yourself in a different, a more authentic way.
Right.
To try and break through some of that junk, to help remove some of the junk you don't need, and fill it, fill your trunk with better experiences, healthier experiences for you.
Well, I mean, my background is, I'll just talk flat out. My background is really high power. I mean, I took care of a 1,000,000-watt transmitter 24/7. Our power bill was $7,000 a month. I mean, this was insane power. Mm-hmm. And I look at the mythology and the religions and all that, and there's Jesus and Buddha and Shakti and Muhammad and all these great, great divine spiritual beings that, may I point out, have come and gone, and Earth still sucks with suffering and pain and misery today.
Yeah.
So I want to look at I think when we have junk in our trunk, I like the idea of karmic momentum. Because I can have a successful job and have a nice house and a flashy car and take great vacations, but I'm not really connected to my soul. I have no idea what my life purpose is. My heart is pretty much ignored by my ego. You know what I mean?
I do. I've had a corporate job for 25 years. So I know exactly what you mean when you say that. Chasing, we're taught if you get a corporate job or you get a good job and you make X amount of dollars, you should be happy. And that does not bring happiness. It does not bring fulfillment.
Well,
That's inside work.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to get to your book, I promise.
I love talking.
But putting the metrics together because I like the metric of why the hell am I here? I mean, my soul chose this dynamic for me, chose to put me in front of big-ass television transmitters. I mean, a million watts will melt the damn thing in an instant. You have to appease it. It has an attitude. It bites.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason my soul chose that is so I could language power from personal experience. And to me, the power that we have is the vision of our soul and the passion of our heart. And typically, our ego can be intimidated by those two things.
There can definitely be a disconnect between our ego and our thinking mind and what our heart and our soul knows.
Right.
And coming up with that balance, finding the balance, getting them to talk to each other.
Sure.
And get along is part of each individual's, life path. That looks different for everybody, but I agree with you. If we spent more time focusing on those inner worlds to make the connection between what the heart wants,
right,
what our intuition's telling us, and getting our thinking mind to maybe, relax, take a back seat, or work in
chill out
a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
Well, before the day I got cracked open, unbeknownst to me, I had no flipping clue. My ego was scared to death of anger, petrified. My ego would avoid anger at all costs, and I had no clue this was happening in my life. And so the 2x4 cracks me open, and holy shit, I've got this trunk loaded up with crap I had no idea I had, and my ego was posturing with it. And fast forward to now, and I'm an author and a podcast host, and I'm doing all kinds of stuff I never would have done had I stayed in that, like, the launched ego, the launched narrative that my, family kicks you out the door, and like we've been saying, go get that big job, go get the big house, and that's it,
And that's all that, and where many of us are taught, that's all that is.
Right. But now that I listen to my heart and my soul, holy crap, I have no idea where my life is going, because it's not up to my ego, and that's a good thing. And what I'm this will all fold into Reiki, because we're talking about energetic elements in our persona, and Reiki uses source consciousness as a vehicle to cleanse and purge this unresolved subconscious karmic momentum, if you will. Does that make sense?
It helps realign you to your true purpose. Ultimately, that's what I find the most healing, the most incredible, unexpected result of my beginning my study of Reiki.
Right.
Actually becoming more aligned with what I believe my soul purpose is, which is to help people.
Right. Typically, when you figure it out, there's some level of service in there.
There is, because it's not just about us as individuals.
Right.
And if you help one person, that person helps another person. We really can make a difference in the world.
Right. I like what you're saying. The what I like about your book is this is a 40-day practice, and when I got my head, my cosmic 2x4 upside the head, my soul told me to start doing this energy work on my persona, and I'm like, what the hell? This is weird shit, you know. And I have done it nonstop now for 25 years. And even in these last few years, I've found some really big reservoirs of unresolved, you know, stigmas, karmic stigmas from my past. So what I'm getting at for the audience is what I like about your book is it the program is long enough to develop a habit of doing Reiki on a regular basis, because with that onion technique, I mean, that onion metaphor of us as psyches, as personas, you're not going to do Reiki for a weekend and become,
I wish it was that easy. Wouldn't that be great? You know, get the Cliff Notes version or the abbreviated version and have all the benefits, like those diet pills, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One and done.
In my experience, nothing worthwhile.
Right.
It takes time.
Right. So can you share your experience with Reiki? I mean, how old were you when it came into your life? Did you pick it up off the top? And just share your experience with coming into this. I mean, you've written a book about it, so
yes.
Can you share that?
Absolutely. So my personal healing journey started in earnest late 30s, not quite 40, when my boys were leaving for college. So I actually had, for the first time in my adult life, time for myself. And that's when my body started falling apart on me. I think because I wasn't going to sporting events every 5 seconds, you know, working a corporate job, running and taking care of the kids, all of a sudden I felt pains that I didn't know existed. And I was trying yoga and started meditation. And I was experimenting with alternative medicines because the medical community wasn't able to pinpoint exactly what was wrong with me. So I found a lovely woman who was doing reflexology and was doing Reiki. And I started learning about the energy body in my yoga practices, but she took it to a whole nother level, and she was a Reiki teacher. So she was my very first Reiki teacher, and I was hooked because I felt the benefits in a tangible, real way. I felt my stress go down. I had more energy. The pain in my belly was manageable now. And it really set me on an interesting course, because from that Reiki experience and going deeper and deeper really brought me a whole new awareness and took my life in an unexpected direction. I never thought, you know, 15 years ago that I would be on podcasts or even written a book. It's just been an exciting adventure learning about not only the energy body, but how I can use these techniques in daily life to make a benefit for myself and to help others.
Nice. Well, I remember, when I first started doing energy work on my psyche, I felt like a 50-pound sack of potatoes. I felt dense. I had no awareness of how the inside of my body felt. I had no discernment, so to speak. And I started doing this energy work, and what I'm getting at is when I first started doing the energy work, I had no idea if it was having an effect or not. I'm like, well, this is weird. I mean, is this supposed to take me somewhere? and holy cow. And I look back at who I was that day. I am so far off the charts as far as who I am today from scrubbing my psyche for 25 years. How, when you, When you do Reiki, if you can perhaps think back of when you first started doing it, mm-hmm. and your sensation of the Reiki process, and then how that sensation or awareness has evolved up to now.
In the beginning, I was still in my ego self. I was worried, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? Is there a better way? Eventually, that all dissipated. I learned to listen to my intuition. I learned that there really is no wrong way to do this. It's just connecting to source energy and allowing it to come in and allowing yourself to receive it. And that was big for me, to allow myself to receive the energy. It was great at sending it to other people, but myself, to understand that I'm worthy also of deep healing, that was a game changer for me. And I attribute a lot of that to Reiki.
Can you elaborate why it felt so awkward for yourself?
Well, I was driven by my ego. I was I'm a recovering perfectionist, as I like to say.
Perfect.
So I wanted to do it perfectly. And because Reiki, you know, it's not like there's something you can see immediately, you know, or necessarily feel immediately, although you can feel sensations like heat in your hands,
right,
or tingling in your body. Those are completely normal. But it's also not something that has to happen in order for it to be working. So it's another key thing for me was learning to trust the process.
Nice.
Trust that healing will occur the way it's supposed to occur, when it's supposed to occur. And me trying to manipulate it or make it go on my time frame is, again, my ego stepping in, saying it should be this way. And as soon as I let go of all of that, things just flowed. Not only the healing flowed, but I flowed more easily in my life.
Nice. Well, I mean, so if a client comes in and says, I have this haggling nag as a mother-in-law, can you do it? No, wait, we're talking about physical problems.
No, I'm kidding.
That's called humor.
But I have worked on relationship healing, and that works with Reiki too. So we can send a little bit of love and light to the mother-in-law we all have.
Right. But what I'm getting at is, like, had I come in the day before I got cracked open, I never would have thought of Reiki. But had I come in, I wouldn't know that the elephant in the room was anger. When a client comes to you and says, my knee hurts, or I get headaches or whatever, a lot of times it's not about, you know, headaches being about the head or, you know, knee, whatever. It's often related to something else. So when you talk about getting out of your ego and just showing up without a motivation, perhaps I would say, from your ego, how did your sessions start to change?
They were a lot more, well, as soon as I got out of my ego and more into my intuition and trusted the process, then, like I said, things flowed. So if a client comes in with a headache, I don't assume that their issue is necessarily their head and chronic migraines. However, the beauty of Reiki is the energy flows where it's supposed to flow, and it helps break up blockages and stagnant energy in the energy body wherever it exists. So even though I might not know exactly where it's supposed to flow or where the issue is, and my client might not know, the fact that the universal healing energy, by its very nature of being associated with divine love, goes to those places where it's needed most.
Nice.
So we don't necessarily need to know in our thinking mind where it's supposed to go.
Nice. Very much. I like that a lot. And I agree, it's like our egos think we're good at stuff, but compared to source consciousness or unbridled love, yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. We are such ego-driven creatures, though, aren't we?
Right. Well, And you fold other elements in your book into the Reiki. For you talk about angels and non-human Reiki, psychic senses. I'm reading chapter titles: Spirit Guides for Reiki. Let's get the spirit guides involved. I mean, they're listening to us talk. We can harangue them a little bit and make fun of them. That's a joke too.
I love my spirit guides. They're funny.
That's a joke too. How do you use spirit guides when it comes to your Reiki practice?
I enjoy working with my spirit guides enormously. In fact, my second book is coming out called Spirit Allies and Healing Guides.
Nice.
So that'll be out, yeah, out in May. And the first time I really connected with my spirit guides was after my Reiki 2 attunement. Basically, I was driving in my car, and all of a sudden, I got the most wonderful image of a guide. And I knew in my heart that guide was there to help me with my healing journey. And since that day, I've been consciously working with my spirit guides and angels to help me with my healing sessions. I invite them in at the beginning of a session. I invite in my clients' spirit guides and any angels associated with my client too, because it's a team effort.
Nice.
Our healing journey, and our guides have a vested interest in having us succeed in what our purpose here is on Earth. So they want us to be as healthy as possible and as whole as possible.
Amen. Now, in chapter 12, the title is Psychic Senses. Maybe I put the cart before the horse. How has your psychic senses changed over the years working with Reiki?
Oh, they've completely blossomed. I was always fascinated with psychic senses. I just didn't know I had them myself. And once I got started, things really blossomed, but they didn't blossom until I learned how to ground properly.
Right.
I spend a lot of time in my head, a lot of time up, you know, in the higher chakras, let's say.
Yep.
But I really needed to learn to ground first. And as soon as I did, it was like all those psychic senses just came into sharper focus.
Well, can you explain the process of grounding for people who might not be familiar with that?
Sure. So when I say grounding, I mean aligning our energies to the energy of the earth, where we live, and this plane of existence. And so grounding would help with feelings of stability. It helps with focus. It helps with maintaining energetic boundaries, which is something that I've often struggled with. So for me, grounding could be simply meditating and thinking about growing roots into Mother Earth and drawing up that grounding, that really strong energy that's there. Or you can use like an essential oil such as cypress or cedarwood or rosewood is one of my favorites. Or even crystals like smoky quartz is great for grounding. It's got a wonderful energy. So for me, before I do any work with my psychic senses, I make sure that I have a strong connection to the earth. And that helps me access my psychic senses even more.
Nice. So as your psychic awareness comes online and you're working with clients, and like you mentioned, you invite the guides of your client into the collective conversation, so to speak, do you find that the spirit guides can have awarenesses of, because like a soul might choose to incarnate and take on something like autism or cancer or whatever, and what I'm getting at is it can be the metaphorically focal point of their life purpose. And so if the client comes in and says, I've got this or that, and my question is, as your awareness, your psychic ability opens up and the spirit guides come in. Have you run into situations where, like, the timing's not right or it's not in their deck of cards, so to speak, that what they came in for is to be resolved?
Have had that situation come up. Slightly different nuance to it. If there's a reason, let's say for autism, for example, that they incarnated with autism so that they would have a certain experiences, what Reiki can do in that instance, it wouldn't be necessarily to cure the autism, but to help them work with the autism to live a full and happy and a healthy life.
Nice.
So it's to make the best of whatever situation you have, because we all have strengths that we might not be aware of. Reiki can help amplify those strengths to help us cope with the challenges that medicine might not be able to fix.
Nice. I like that. Well, then, you also talk about chakras in your book. Now, can you describe your understanding of chakras before we use this term more?
Sure. Chakras are, well, chakra is a Sanskrit word. Typically, it's associated with the word wheel, and it refers to the energy centers. There are seven main energy centers, or chakras, that lie right along a central channel that runs from the crown of your head all the way down to your tailbone. So there's the seven main chakras, the root chakra, sacral chakra, the solar plexus chakra right around your belly or a little bit higher, your heart chakra at your heart center, your throat chakra at your throat center, the brow or third eye chakra on your forehead, and then the crown chakra on the top of your head are the seven main ones.
Nice.
That comprise our energy body.
So if I think about a chakra, each chakra kind of has a archetype or genre to it. The first chakra might be how you see yourself belonging on the planet, so to speak.
Your ability to stand on the earth.
Right. And mm-hmm. And so when we think about a chakra being oriented around that type of a framework or reference, what does a healthy chakra do to promote your experience, and what does a dysfunctional chakra do to, I guess, demote your experience of life?
Well, if a chakra is functioning properly, then it's spinning and it's open and it's vibrant. So if you look at, let's say, the heart chakra, because a lot of people have heart chakra issues, heart chakra is our place of love and compassion for ourselves and others. And if that's malfunctioning or if it's blocked, closed off, that could be experienced as an inability to really being able to open yourself up to another human being, to keep yourself, you know, in a shell around your heart. So that would be if it's closed off or blocked, but we also have people have it way too open, and those individuals may end up in a codependent or an unhealthy love relationship. So each chakra could be underperforming or overperforming or in a perfect state of balance. And with Reiki, we're trying to work on promoting a healthy state of balance for each of our energy centers.
Very nice. Very nice. I like that. Well, you also talk about distance healing. Can you explain what that is?
Well, in Reiki level 2, you're exposed to, you get introduced to 3 symbols, and one of them is a distance healing symbol. And you can use that once you get attuned to that symbol to send Reiki energy, Reiki healing across time, across space. So I could send Reiki healing to somebody out in California or in another continent, and it would just be like the person were lying on my Reiki healing table here in Rhode Island. But you can also send it across time to a situation in your past, or even if you ascribe to past lives. You could send it to a past life and try and, you know, work that karma out by sending Reiki healing to the situation in the past. It can have profoundly beneficial, have a lot of benefits to doing it that way. Also, if there's something in the future, like let's say that you're doing a podcast and you want to make sure that you do it as the best of your ability, you can send Reiki healing to future you doing the podcast. So imagination is our friend here. We can find unlimited ways to send Reiki across time, across space and distance.
So I'm glad you mentioned imagination, because we've talked a fair amount about the stigma life, you know, the running on a treadmill, hurry, hurry, scurry, scurry, go to work, come home, do this, do that, do it again, do it again, do it again. And a lot of times we don't know what we don't know because our imagination is kind of offline. Does Reiki work to heal your relationship with your imagination?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of using our imagination in multiple ways. And Reiki can help you access your imagination, your creativity. We have unlimited imagination, ability to imagine. We have unlimited creativity. We just need to slow down sometimes, get off that treadmill, that race that we're constantly on, and taking time to connect with it and connecting with your imagination, whether you're doodling on a piece of paper is one way to get started, or set aside 5 to 10 minutes to daydream and really use your imagination that way. Or do a creative practice can help stimulate it. But yes, imagination, I use it constantly in my Reiki healing practices by either imagining the chakras that we just talked about, you know, fully colorful and spinning, or you can use your imagination to envision yourself in a greater state of health and happiness. And then we can work to achieve that. I do believe our imagination is a gift from the divine. And we really, you know, the more we use it, the better off we'll be.
I like that. Well, now, so imagine me a listener to the show, and Don and Les have been talking about Reiki. Well, Don's been talking about Reiki, and Les is, I don't know what he's doing. So to give a newcomer to Reiki, I think you talk about 3 levels of Reiki. Is this like, how long does it, quote, take, unquote, to accomplish a level? Is becoming a master 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? I mean, kind of describe the levels and the typical experience, not that any one life is going to be typical, but for the listener to think about bringing Reiki into their life, kind of lay it out for them, please.
Sure. So Reiki level 1 is the foundation level of Reiki. And this is where you'd learn the history of Reiki. You'd learn the anatomy of the energy body. You'd learn the hand positions for self-healing. And if you're going to use Reiki to heal others, you'd learn those hand positions too. And you'd get your first attunement. And attunement is when the Reiki master teacher passes the ability to channel Reiki to the students. So that's level 1 in a nutshell. That's usually taught in one class or over 2 classes, depending on how the teacher wants to break it up. And then there's usually a minimum period of 21 days where the teacher would suggest that you do self-healing before moving on to the next level, Reiki 2. I prefer my method, which is to go through the 40-day cycle that I wrote for level 1. After that, and at that point in time, I feel that a person would have all the necessary background in it, had a chance to really assimilate it into their lives before moving to Reiki 2. There's no rush. There's no reason to try and do all the levels in 3 months. I prefer taking my time and learning it and really integrating it into my life before moving on. So there's no hard and fast rules of when you can move from Reiki level one to Reiki level two, but I would wait the 40-day period before moving on to Reiki two or even longer. It's not a race. Reiki level two, this is after Reiki level two is where you can start professionally working with other people and healing them with Reiki. You learn the three Reiki symbols, the three main Reiki symbols. You learn how to use those symbols for physical healing, mental and emotional healing, and you learn the techniques for distance healing. And then after Reiki level two, you would wait again the period of time for the self-healing, which is 21 days in most courses, or my suggestion would be to do the next 40-day cycle after Reiki two before proceeding to Reiki level three. Reiki level three is usually divided into two parts. The first part is Reiki master, and the second part is Reiki master teacher. And the Reiki master teacher one would be where you would learn to actually pass attunements to others. Reiki level three is mostly focused on spiritual healing. You learn the last remaining Reiki symbols. I usually teach advanced energy anatomy in that class, as well as the elements and using the elements as another roadmap to the energy body.
Very nice. Well, now, tell us about your practice. Do you take clients in person, in the flesh? Do you take clients over the internet, all around the world?
I do both. I'm actually in the process. I was doing in-person healing before the pandemic. After the pandemic, I took a break, but I'm just opening up a physical location for my healing business, and it will be opening in 2 weeks.
Nice.
So, yes, beginning of May. Just purchased more furniture for today, so I'm very excited. But I do remote healings all over the world. Doing remote healings, I have the option of doing it through Zoom, which works fabulously, or some people prefer to just set aside some time where I do the healing for them and they go about their day. I just ask that they spend a little bit of time reflecting when I'm giving the distance healing.
Nice. Now, time can go by pretty fast. We're getting towards the end of the interview. Can you talk about how Reiki has changed your perception of your life? The reason I ask this is because what I really like about your book, Dawn, is that 40-day process. And like I mentioned, when I first started doing energy work on myself, my mind is like, why am I, this is pointless. And if you can share how your life, your experience of life has evolved through working with Reiki, that can give some insight as to how powerful of a modality this can be.
Well, I experienced not only physical healing and mental, emotional healing on a very deep level, levels I didn't know I needed.
Right.
Healing those parts of me that kept me small, that kept me contained. And when I started doing this work and really, really embraced it, things opened up for me that I didn't know were possible. Things opened up for me and showed me different paths, different possibilities. And I realized it was my choice whether or not I took those paths, whether I realized those possibilities. And the person I am today is not the person I was 15 years ago when I started this journey. I recognize that who I used to be, and I honor that for doing the best I could given those tools that I had. But this toolkit I just realize now that we don't have to stay small, that we can all make a difference in our own lives. And if we're living our true life, our authentic life, I think we naturally share that with others in a way that benefits them. So we can each help people. If we really take seriously our own healing journey, we can help people without even realizing we're helping people, because we're happier, we're healthier, we're more whole. And by that example, it's almost contagious. Others gravitate to it and ask, what are you doing? How did you do this? And it's really an inside job. And it's a beautiful journey. I highly recommend it.
I do
just
too.
Dive in. Mm-hmm.
I do too. I can't imagine my life without the energy work I do on myself. It's like, I don't want that life.
No, I wouldn't want it. And once you become used to it, it's almost like brushing your teeth, right?
Yeah.
You can't imagine not doing it.
Well, that's what I like about the 40 days. Your book brings it into your body. It instills it as a habit. And since everything is, I love the onion metaphor. I mean, it's not one and done. When you make it a habit, it's like you grab the rudder of the metaphorical boat you've been riding. You grab the rudder and you start getting intentional about your life in a way that you didn't even know was possible. And the more you work on yourself, the more the rudder loosens up and the bigger the sail gets and the bigger the breeze in your face gets, and your life just changes in really wonderful, wonderful ways.
And who knows where that destination of that boat is going, but we're enjoying the journey a whole lot more.
Damn tootin', we're enjoying the journey. Now, did you mention your website and where to get the book?
My book, Everyday Reiki, is available anywhere books are sold, but Amazon is always an easy place, but Barnes & Noble is published through Llewellyn, so Llewellyn's website has it as well. And my website is Intuitive Hearts. It's intuitive-hearts.com.
Very nice. We have lots of Llewellyn authors on the show, so welcome. Well, Dawn, I've really enjoyed this. Do you have any closing thoughts for our audience?
Just to take charge of your healing journey, that there's so many possibilities out there, and our ability to heal ourselves is limitless.
Very nice. Well, Dawn, I want to thank you for being our guest on the show tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, I have too. Thank you so much, Les. This was fun.
The topic tonight has been Everyday Reiki, a self-healing routine for mastering the teachings and practice of Reiki. And our guest tonight has been Dawn McLaughlin. Well, that was delightful. I really recommend you, the listener, take on a regular practice where you are working on your personal energy persona in any way you see fit. If you don't know how to start, maybe tonight's guest is a good place to start. What I like about tonight's show is Dawn shared the big picture, the little picture, the personal experience of how doing energy work on you and others can change your life. But, you know, I can go to the library and get a book on working out, going to the gym, and if I sit my derriere on the couch and don't do jack, it doesn't matter how many times I read the book, I have to do the practice. If I want to see results, I have to do the practice. And Everyday Reiki is a great way to start up an everyday practice of working on your own personal energy persona. You can't tell yourself right now, it's impossible that you could tell yourself, well, I know exactly where that will take me, Les. If I do energy work on my persona for 10 years, I will be at XYZ. Baloney. I don't believe you for a second. Because our egos cannot comprehend the vastness of our soul and the true passions of our heart. What a fun guest. I really enjoyed having Don on the show. Well, I want to thank you, the listener. Here we are at the end of the show. And here you are, too. You've shown up for yourself. I applaud you for doing just that. The life you change when you show up for yourself will be your own. When you show up for yourself, your future expands. Your horizons expand. And here you are showing up for yourself. Always a pleasure. We're 14 plus years into this, and I see many more decades of this type of podcast, and I'm sure we'll expand to other platforms, but I'm here to serve you, not to do it for you, not to decide for you, not to tell you what it should look like for you, but to help you hold yourself accountable, perhaps. You're metaphorically holding your feet to the fire, that you're not fooling yourself, that you're not downsizing your sense of self. Part of the reason I'm so blunt verbally is to shake you out of your stagnation and give your ego no place to hide, because I always know there's more power in you. There's always more power in you to be discovered if you will but only look. Again, always a pleasure. Thanks for listening. Until next time. I'm your host, Les Jensen. You've been listening to a new Human Living broadcast. If you're a spiritual seeker, you're going to eventually bump up against your relationship with God, especially if you grew up in some of the more classic Western religions. Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior, is a spiritual book written for spiritual seekers to help them heal their relationship with God and more fully embody their own life purpose. Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. Get your copy. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Thanks for listening. Until next time.